OVW's own Al Snow was on The Brand with Vince Russo this week, doing what else but making fun of AEW and all the current wrestlers and how big of marks they are and all that kind of stuff, right? It's the same conversation we have every time with Vince Russo, especially when we got people like Al Snow on. And Al Snow was really on one in this particular episode. And look, I like Al Snow, by the way. I do, but he's definitely one of the stern, strict voices in professional wrestling, right? Really one of the ones that's like, ah, you're a bunch of fucking marks. Shouldn't be doing that out there in the ring. You're going to kill somebody. He was really on that in this particular clip where he made an outright proclamation. Someday somebody's going to get killed in the wrestling ring on live TV doing this kind of shit. And it's going to happen in AEW. Check out this clip.
There is going to be someone on that show or a show, but more than likely it's going to be AEW. And this is what, you know, it's going to be a national television and you're going to watch someone die right in front of your eyes. I guarantee it. Some young man or woman is going to drop on their head and they're going to die. Or at the very least, be completely paralyzed from the neck down. We watched it once already with D'Lo and Draws. Okay? And that wasn't enough. Now it's escalated from a running powerbomb, which quite honestly isn't that much of a risk. I mean, but there is still that risk. We now have escalated to where we watched Will Ospreay go up into a vertical suplex with the guy standing on the second rope and drop straight up onto his head. We watched Orange Cassidy get dropped bodily on the top rope. It could almost be cut in half. Okay? How much of a exponentially has the scale went up that we're going to watch someone die? I mean, legitimately, they're going to die right in front of your eyes in a match. And then we're all the people that are encouraging this, the Dave Meltzers, the Sean Ross Sapps, right? Oh, you don't encourage this. Yeah, you do, because you applaud it. You reward it. You praise it and you give it more acclaim. That is condoning it, and that is inspiring others to continue to do it. So don't tell me that you're not doing exactly what I say you're doing, because you're lying to yourself, to no one else. You are, instead of condemning this like I am, you in fact will condemn me. You in fact will defend their choices, and you in fact will reinforce those decisions and tell me I'm wrong because I'm trying to sway them from taking that kind of risk.
Now, I'm a really big fan of people like a Will Ospreay. That match, Ospreay, Takeshita, that's my kind of shit. And I, as much as I cringe at sick fucking moves like that, it's dangerous and there's no reason for it, but I enjoy it in some of those contexts. It's a little bit different than just an outright botch. There's this thing in Japan where some of these guys will just do moves that are designed to look like they outright murdered you completely. Kenny Omega does that a lot if you watch his matches. Will Ospreay does that. They do it a lot together. They do moves that are going to outright murder somebody. Remember, it was the big when Kenny Omega landed on his neck a few months back. That was against Will Ospreay. That criticism remains, despite the fact that I love that kind of wrestling. I love those matches. Now compare that to like just a shitty botch in a match where somebody just gets dropped on their head because they're being careless or stupid or whatever, or you're attempting to do something stupid and you fuck it up. You know, it's a little bit different than some of these Japanese style matches, as it's not so much a botch or I'm a fuckhead idiot that doesn't know what I'm doing excuse me, but it's seeking that reaction, right? You have designed, you've built in this spot. Oh, we're going to really make people cringe here. It's the cringe spot. They do that a lot in Japan, but it also happens naturally when people just botch and fuck up. And quite frankly, Al's right here. As much as I love that kind of wrestling, and as much as I like to think Al Snow's the old man yelling at the clouds and he's delusional, and obviously anything said on Vince Russo's podcast is questionable, right? Because I'm not going to take wrestling advice from Vince Russo. Creative advice, I'll hear him out. I'll hear what he has to say about the creative, bro. But I ain't going to take wrestling advice from Vince Russo. Nobody likes the wrestling, bro. He doesn't even know what a fucking soup. He doesn't even know what that move was off the top. Some kind of suplex gimmick, brainbuster. What the fuck was that? I don't know, bro. I don't know either. Like a suplex, DDT, brainbuster gimmick. Doesn't matter. But somebody's going to get killed, and it probably will happen in an AEW ring because, well, we're forgetting that the last time that a neck was broken in the ring, it happened in a WWE ring, right? Biggie Langston. They just call him Biggie Langston. Jesus fucking Christ. What part of my dark recess of my fucking brain memory did I pull that one up from that I went to Biggie Langston? Biggie broke his neck. That happened in WWE, not AEW. But the AEW is where you tend to see the more preposterous shit. But I mean, it can happen to anybody. Look what Charlotte, when Charlotte got hurt there, that move that she was attempting. And she said, anytime you slip off the top rope like that and you just fall all willy-nilly randomly, you don't know what the fuck's going to get broken. Could be anything at that point. But yes, these types of moves and matches tend to occur in AEW much more. The risk factors, the risks that are taken happen much more in AEW than WWE. And they happen much more in the modern day. And some of that is just because the product has changed since the old days. You can't win everybody over with a headlock, takedown, whatever the fuck anymore. Can't grab a hold and work it and expect the crowd to... I mean, some people can. Randy Orton could work a fucking rear chin lock for 5 minutes and the crowd's going to eat that shit up. And he has. But somebody like maybe a Top Flight, for example, when they're doing the flippy dippy off the top through the table and clacks the ankle, maybe they feel like they need to do that to get noticed in this world. I don't think you do. I think it's all about personality. I think MJF has proven that. I think guys like a Danhausen, he's over. Orange Cassidy, he's over. Oh, granted, Orange Cassidy wrestles like a maniac. He was in that highlight reel, you know, taking a stupid bump. But for the most part, it's personalities that... look at Sacco. All the crazy, stupid shit Mick Foley's done, it was Mr. Sacco that really, like, to this day, he can still, this motherfucker can sell a sock with a smiley face painted on it. But you could argue he had to, for that to have gotten over the way it did, he had to have gotten over in the way he did first with the Hell in a Cell and shit like that. Well, he had Sacco by the time he did the Hell in a Cell, but you get the point, you know, all the barbed wire, death match, fucking... he had established himself as the hardcore legend before he had the sock on his hand. But you could argue that he needed to first for that to get over. Maybe. It's interesting. It's an interesting subject, man. Like, it's endlessly debated between the veterans and the newbies. The veterans are always young, and it's always been this case, right? You know, the veterans of the fucking golden age would criticize, you know, the Attitude Era guys, you know, or Bruno's like, oh, I don't like this Hulkamania shit. The Hulk Hogan era is like, I don't like this Rock and Austin swearing, flipping people off shit. You know, Bruno certainly didn't. You know, if you want to go two generations back from the Attitude Era, Jesus Christ, Bruno hated the Attitude Era and everything about it. And now all the Attitude Era guys are the guys that are going, oh, back in my day, we didn't need to do all the flippy-dippy stuff. We just, you know, whatever, we were entertaining. Every generation thinks the next generation does too much. That's inherently part of it. But are they doing too much, and is somebody going to get killed? That's the real thing. I think so. I think you reserve the big stuff for pay-per-views, which, you know, these clips were pay-per-views, not the Madison Rain. I don't think that happened at a pay-per-view. Like, don't do stupid shit on TV. And botches are always, look, wrestling's not ballet either. You hear it all the time. People get hurt off the dumbest, silliest, stupidest shit. So somebody can always get hurt. You can get hurt off a fucking hip toss. You know, I can break your neck doing a hip toss. You know, I go to hip and then you're sweaty and I don't get a good hook and you don't get a full rotation and you just face plant down on your neck and crunch your back on that. Ugh. A hip toss, anything, routine. It doesn't have to be the high spot flippy dippity do, you know. But those are certainly, I mean, you just don't need to be doing moves. At the end of the day, we're putting on a show, right? And do you want to be in a wheelchair or dead? Do you want your opponent to be in a wheelchair or dead? You have to weigh those risks. But I think also as performers, and you can tell I'm a complete fence rider on this because I see both sides. I do think they do too much. But as a performer, as an entertainer, I get the reason why you want to do the big spot, right? You don't need to do the big spot, but you want to. You want to give the fans more. You want to leave something for your highlight reel, something for your legacy behind, something that people will remember. If you do it all the time, people aren't going to remember. If you do it all the time, you're going to risk injury. It's not going to mean as much, but if you bust some weird shit out once in a while, it can really, really, really help build your legend up, you know, take you to that next level. It's interesting. It's an interesting, and Al Snow's always, you know, if Al Snow had his way, it would always be like headlock, takedown, fucking arm drag, hip toss. His idea of a high spot is a fucking suplex. Oh, we're going to get you up in a vertical suplex. A power slam. A fucking power slam is a high spot to Al Snow. You got to find that balance where you're entertaining the current audience that's tastes have evolved from the old days. And also knowing that you're in a work. You're putting on a show. You're not trying to, that's another thing, and that it's that Japanese influence again. They take pride in being the tough guy out there and being hurt and taking, that's why you see them do the forearm exchanges and the chop battles and shit. It's boring as all shit. It's played out. It's been done a million times. I hate to see it, but that's their measure of a man there, right? They know they're putting on a show, but they want to make it the damnedest, toughest, tough guy show you've ever seen, right? Want to show how tough guy tough I am and how many actual kicks and punches and knees and elbows to the face I can take, how many times I can land on my neck and my head and every which crooked way and all that stuff. It's insanity. It's a machismo type thing, if you will. It's a work sport here, guys. Find the balance. Do those high spots to really leave the moments, to really make an impact. But at the end of the day, realize you're putting on a show, and maybe you don't need to do it every single episode. You know what I mean? Like, you can get through months of Dynamite building up to the pay-per-view and then do the high spot at the pay-per-view. And you're still putting on a risk there. But part of the wrestling is risks. Part of it is it's not ballet. This is live action. It's physical. It can be stiff. It can be violent. And that's what it's evolving into. And yes, eventually somebody's going to get hurt like Big E did, or Big E Langston, if you will. Somebody's going to get hurt again. It will continue to happen. But surprisingly, really, honestly, when you look back in my time as a fan, I've been a fan for, Jesus, you know, 35 years. Very rare. Very, very, very rare. People hurt or, you know, Stone Cold draws. That guy that Marty Jannetty fucked up. I mean, it happens, but it's rare-ish. You just, I don't know. I don't know. I think the line is in the middle somewhere. You can't be fully Al Snow or your product to be boring and no one will care. or you can't be fully fucking flippity dippity do the entire show, the entire match, every match, because eventually people aren't going to care. It's not going to mean as much, and you're just going to end up killing yourself doing it anyway. So is what it is. That's my two cents on it. But again, like I said, this is the endless debate, right? Like, there's no right answer here. It is subjective, and I would love to hear your opinions on it. Do you guys need to go harder to entertain you? Are you happy with the speed that they do now? Would you be happy with them letting up a little bit and not killing themselves every show for your entertainment? What do you like out of your wrestling? Are you okay with just a good story? And if that story includes a fucking 5-minute rear chin lock, then so be it. Or do you need to see the action in the ring? I tend to think that's going to be the AEW fans lean more towards the action. And that's why I think it'll happen more in AEW, why Al is right there. Even though the last time we saw a broken neck was in WWE, AEW just, they're more of a work rate company. They're less showman, they're less show, right? They're more action. They are more of a wrestling product at their core than a sports entertainment product. And that's where you're going to see more guys doing more high-risk stuff in their ring. But definitely, let's keep the conversation going, because I'm just, you know, repeating myself now. No good answer to be had, but a good discussion could be had down in the comments below. Let me know your thoughts. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for checking out the video here. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like it if you liked it. Yeah. And you can check out full episodes each and every Sunday right here on the channel. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo.
You should come to the gathering with me.
Nah, man. I'm not into all that whoop whoop shit anymore.
I'll pay for your ticket.
I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep!
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit! Run! You guys got a dead body here already?
Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to.
You alive?
Yep. The gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.